is the JR Sport Brief Show here with you on the Infinity Sports Network. I'm coming to you live from Atlanta, Georgia. Much love and many thanks to everybody tuned in and locked in all over North America. I hope you've had a terrific Monday. I hope you had a better Monday than Bryce Young. He got benched. I'll be hanging out with you for the next 2 hours just to help you out if you should need it. The show gets started every single weekday at 6 p.m. Eastern, 3 Pacific. How can you listen to the show? Always on the free Audacy app, A-U-D-A-C-Y. You can tune in on your local Infinity Sports Network affiliate, Sirius XM Channel 158. And if you got a smart speaker, ask the speaker to play the Infinity Sports Network. Thank you to our super producer and host, Ryan Hickey, holding it down for us in New York City. Week 2 of the NFL season has been a wild one. And it's not done yet. We're minutes away from kickoff between the Philadelphia Eagles hosting the Atlanta Falcons. And I just told you about the Georgia Bulldogs barely getting by Kentucky. There might be a lot of miserable people here in Atlanta if the Falcons start the season 0-2. They're going to be looking at Kirk Cousins. They're going to be looking at Michael Penix Jr. They're going to say, put him in the game, coach. Put him in the game. We'll keep you up to date with Monday Night Football as it continues on and as the show continues on. If you want to participate, it's real simple. The phone number is 855-212-4227. That's 855-212-4227. You can also find me online. I am everywhere. I am at JR Sport Brief. At JR Sport Brief all over the place. Man, oh man, what a show we've had already. Thank you so much and many thanks to Travis Hancock from WFNZ, co-host of Mac and Bone in the Mornings in Charlotte, for coming by to talk to us about Bryce Young and the Panthers and what we can expect moving forward from this team as they are in full evaluation mode. You thought that they were in full evaluation mode already with Bryce Young? You've had to bench him after week 2? This is going to be a wild season. Hickey, how much longer before we see Bryce Young? You think we'll see him in a month? I think so, right? I give him 2 weeks before we see him back on the field.
I would agree. I don't think this is a one-week benching, but I don't think he's, you know, coming back in week 9 or 10. I like what you said. So you said, well, week 4 or 5? I can buy that.
What month are we in? September?
September.
We'll see him again before October, man.
Like, better.
Yeah, we'll see. Give it 2 more games. Like, Andy Dalton is going to have one of those 2-3 interception games, and he'll look bad in a half. And that'll be the best opportunity to just throw Bryce Young right back out there, you know, at halftime, and then just say after the game, oh, we don't know who the quarterback is going to be. And then they just keep him out there. They roll him out again. I think that's what's most likely to happen.
Anything that gets him back on the field, because I don't think him sitting is what's best for Bryce, what's best for the Panthers. I mean, it's been bad, but do you really, if you're a Panthers fan, want to watch Andy Dalton?
No, really? You don't. No. You want to see if it's going to be – there's nothing positive going to come out of this year. If Bryce Young is going to sink, you got to – I know this sounds terrible. You got to let him steer, okay? And if he's going to sink and everybody goes down, then so be it. At least you know you got to buy a new boat for next year. I think that's what's most likely. You feel confident that he's going to be a starting quarterback in the league?
I do. I'm not ready to
Throw
him overboard. I still, like, look at Sam Darnold. Not that he's, you know, a top 15 quarterback, but now he's having success in Minnesota. Why? Because he's finally in a competent place that he has talent now. He's just in a spot that's stable. Carolina's clearly not stable, and they can draft another quarterback. Guess what? You're going to have the same conversation 2 years from now. That team stinks. I don't think it's Bryce Young. I think it's a team.
I think it's a combination. But I really think his size and his athleticism go against him. And so if I think about other small quarterbacks in the league, we can look at Tua Tagovailoa, and we know that he's one of the more accurate quarterbacks in the league. Like, he's going to complete 65 to 70% of his passes. When you think about Baker Mayfield, we know his ability to scramble, but he also has a very, very a big arm. Kyler Murray, this was a two-sport athlete. He could have easily been on the Oakland days stealing bases and hitting home runs or he could be the starting quarterback for the Cardinals, which he is. So I don't see that from Bryce Young. Like he ain't ducking and dodging and juking anybody. He doesn't have this cannon for an arm. I mean, given his size with the offensive line in front of him, it's not like he has time to, you know, kind of sit back and drop back and just let her rip. I think he's shell-shocked. And in the case of Sam Darnold, he's a gunslinger, but he's able to move the ball. Like, where's the positivity that we saw in Alabama here with the Panthers? Like, is it you blaming the offensive line? I mean, he has guys to throw the ball to. He was missing easy throws yesterday.
No, he was. And not like I say, it's all on the Panthers. Like, he's been bad. Like, I will admit, he has been very bad and worse than I thought. But, like, when he's at his best, he is like a point guard, kind of like a Brock Purdy. And, again, I know Brock Purdy's in a perfect situation. But, like, I guess I'll say this. In order for Bryce Young to be successful, he's not someone that can be like an Andrew Luck, a C.J. Stroud, go to places and teams that lack a lot of talent and uplift everyone else around you. Right? Like I don't think he can be a superhero, if you will. But if you have things in place and all you need him to be is a point guard and distribute the ball and make the right decisions, I think he can be a really competent quarterback and a franchise quarterback at that level. He needs a better situation than what he's in. And I think because of that, like, there are some guys that can come in and change the culture. I would say from what we've seen with Bryce Young, he's clearly not that guy. He needs a lot of help around him in order to have success.
Yeah, it ain't going to be with this team.
No.
It ain't going to be this year. And here's the deal. We get new quarterbacks who get cycled in every single year. And when you start getting, you know, kind of benched and moved and traded, you get pushed further down the line. And people want something fresh. They want something new. He had his chance and opportunity. It might be a poor one with the Carolina Panthers. You think about Frank Reich and then getting rid of him and the change in coordinators. And now he has a new head coach and Dave Canale. It's just he's going through the gamut right now. So he hasn't been helped. And Hickey, you mentioned Sam Darnold. He had to run through the gamut with the New York Jets. They didn't necessarily draft him in the best position. The Jets have just been a mess. I mean, since they drafted him, they had a chance with Zach Wilson, and then that didn't work. And now they got Aaron Rodgers, and they hope and pray to God that it works. And as you mentioned, Sam Darnold getting a chance and an opportunity because the guy who was supposed to be the quarterback, J.J. McCarthy, for the Minnesota Vikings, he's hurt. I just don't think Bryce, I don't know. Wherever he goes, he's going to have to be a backup. And thinking that he's going to get that next shot, it's tough. Because by the time we get to next year, that's another round of quarterbacks who've just come into the league. There's a lot of guys now making $50+ million to be a quarterback in the league. You got to pay those guys, can't sit them down. And then you got all these young guys in here. I don't know. I mean, is he going to take over for Will Levis? I don't know. I doubt it. But it's not looking good. It looks real bad for everybody in Carolina. That's what I feel bad for, the fans. Those Panther fans, man, they've been suffering. They've been suffering since Cam Newton went down. And I'm not talking about the second time he came back. I'm talking about since he got busted up with the shoulder and the foot. And 2015, going to the Super Bowl, damn, that was a long time ago. 855-212-4227. That's 855-212-4227. Speaking of the Super Bowl, in about 10 minutes, a little bit more than that, yeah, about 10, 15 minutes, we're going to have a conversation with Rod Walker from New Orleans. The Times-Picayune Saints columnist is going to join us, and we're going to talk about the Saints because they are scoring after two games. The New Orleans Saints are scoring at a pace that we have not seen since 2009 when the Saints did go out there and win the Super Bowl. Now, that has been a long time. So Rod Walker is going to join us. The Saints shocking everybody by lighting up the Cowboys yesterday. Four touchdowns by Alvin Kamara. And the New Orleans Saints, well, it looks like they're continuing on with their hot finish to last year. I know they started off like ass. People were begging for Derek Carr to get the boot. They finished hot. I didn't expect them to be any type of good this year. It's only two games in. And so we'll ask Rod Walker how much longer we can expect the Saints to be good. That's really what it boils down to. They're going to take on the Philadelphia Eagles next week, and these Eagles are getting ready to get things kicked off and started with the Atlanta Falcons. Hickey, there's so much, the injuries, man. How the hell we get this much action? It's only 2 weeks.
It's a great question, man. I hope you have enough players at the end of the year to finish out a season at this rate. Jeez.
Yeah, I'm thinking off the top of my head. I think the answer is nobody. We haven't had an issue with a quarterback yet. I mean, at
so
least
far.
In the regular season, we know I just mentioned J.J. McCarthy. But in the regular season, we've had all the quarterbacks have been able to, you know, get around. I'm trying to cycle through my brain. Russell Wilson never even started, so there you have it.
And Tua just got hurt on Thursday.
Tua concussion. So Tua's the only starting quarterback. I know Justin Herbert, he got knocked around yesterday. They said he's fine. Okay, everybody's going to have a bump and a bruise. You think about a Josh Allen had to wear that glove on his hand. He's fine. Yeah, it's like the receivers are the ones who are busted up. Justin Jefferson with the quad. Puka Nacua with the knee. We learned earlier today, Cooper Kupp with the ankle. Deebo Samuel with the calf. T. Higgins with the hamstring. Maybe it's the guys who have to do the running. Maybe no coincidence, and we talked about this earlier on in the show, but no coincidence that they are the ones who just... they stink right now, at least when it comes down to the injuries. And speaking of stinking, Hickey, we saw a lot of plays, a lot of games. We had some of the surprises yesterday. What the hell is Will Levis doing? You want to talk about decision-making? Why, last week, he flipped the ball to the Bears for the Bears to win. And yesterday, Will Levis goes out there and does the same thing at the end of a game, just flipping the ball around like an idiot. His own head coach was looking at him. I can't repeat the words on the radio, otherwise I get the boot. Asking him, hey, man, what the bleep are you doing? The New York Jets beat the Titans 24-17. Hickey, you saw that play, right?
Oh, yeah. And that was the only time I hope we ever see that play again. What the hell?
And his head coach, Brian Callahan, he looked at his young pupil and he said, what the bleep are you doing? And he spoke to the media. He says he has to take care of the ball.
I've seen guys make plenty of plays like that. You see it every week. You know, it's not like he's not alone in that regard. But we just got to do a better job and keep coaching and protect the football better, because one score games and losing turnover margins are going to send you to the loser's column more often than not. And we just have to do a better job protecting the ball.
Yeah, and he basically told everybody as well. He's like, this is a grown man right here. This is not no baby. This is not no boy. Like, he's an adult making these dumbass decisions. He should know better than that. That was a clean version of what he said. Will Levis, he says he needs to rethink how he plays the game.
It's got to be something that's more second nature to me. And I'm going to do everything I can to rewire my brain to make sure that when I'm in those situations, I'm not making those decisions. And I think throughout my career, I've gotten a lot better of not forcing things, or at least forcing balls into windows, but that's a different kind of play.
I'm being tackled, so let me just go ahead and flip the ball. Let me try to flip the ball to whoever the hell is standing next to me. Not the smartest thing in the world, Will Levis. The Tennessee Titans are now 0-2. I think we shouldn't expect too much of anything out of them this season. And Will Levis, what is he known for? He's a joke right now. He's known for giving a game away for stupid plays. He's like a bad version of Patrick Mahomes. And then we get these stupid mayonnaise commercials. Hickey, I don't know what the hell I don't watch too much TV. I watch sports and that's it. When that commercial comes on, you can't ask me about Tua. What happened in the commercial? I don't know, because I ain't watching. I'm getting up. I'm doing something. I know when that commercial comes on, Hickey. It's the only commercial that stands out to me out of anything right now. This guy and his mayonnaise.
Well, that, number one, is good marketing. I mean, that's good on them, because clearly something is working. If you're paying attention and not captivated, but at least remembering the commercial, number one. Number two, what do you think Will Levis likes more, mayo or turning the ball over?
I think he likes turning the ball over. I think he does.
More than his mayo cologne?
They're not really selling cologne right now.
Isn't that what the commercial is?
It's for mayonnaise, not cologne. Unless you're going to put mayonnaise on your body as cologne, right?
Oh, see, I guess I pulled to you. I haven't really paid attention. I was assuming that was a cologne, like a Mayo cologne commercial.
Look, I think it's a good thing that neither you or me know whether or not they're really selling cologne.
That's true.
Okay, I know where to get mayonnaise. All right, I can go right to the supermarket, the grocery store. I can go get me some mayonnaise. I don't know how. Can I go to Macy's and ask for mayonnaise smelling? What would they look? They say, what are you doing? They'd escort me out. They'd call security over to take me out, wouldn't they?
They would ask you if you're trying to repel chicks.
I don't know. Somebody likes the smell of mayonnaise.
I'm sorry, sir. You want what scented?
Mayonnaise. I need mayonnaise scented cologne.
What aisle is that down?
Inspired by Will Levis of the NFL, please. I need it ASAP. Some wild stuff, man. I told you, you got to be careful with your marketing deals when you suck. That's just what people are going to make fun of you, like me. It's the JR Sport Brief Show here with you on the Infinity Sports Network. Will Levis and the Titans are now 0-2. I'm going to tell you about a team that is surprisingly 2-0. We're going to take a break. When we come back, we're going to have a chat with Rod Walker from the Times-Picayune. He's going to come through and talk to us about the Saints. Is this an aberration, or are they really going to be this good? Is the offense going to be this dynamic? Rod is going to join us on the other side. You are locked in to the JR Sport Brief Show on the Infinity Sports Network.
You're listening to the JR Sport Brief.
I need you to thank O'Reilly Auto Parts for all of your car care needs. Get guaranteed low prices and excellent customer service from the professional parts people at O'Reilly Auto Parts. It is the JR Sport Brief Show here with you on the Infinity Sports Network, coast to coast. We're getting ready to wrap up week two of the NFL season. The Eagles and the Falcons are getting it on right now. But one of the surprises that we have so far this season, New Orleans Saints has started the year 2-0. Matter of fact, in these first two games, they have scored 44 or more points in the first two games. We haven't seen this in the NFL since another team named the Saints back in 2009. To talk about what the Saints have been able to do, from Derek Carr to even their coach, who I think a lot of people would hate, Dennis Allen's guts, to Alvin Kamara, joining us right now is Rod Walker, columnist from the Times-Picayune down in New Orleans. Hey, Rod, how are you?
I'm doing well, man. Thanks for having me on.
Thank you for taking the time to join us. We saw what happened last week, knocking off the Panthers, 47 points. The Panthers just benched their QB. And we saw a big old surprise down in Dallas yesterday, 44-19. Are you surprised at the offense and what the Saints have been able to do so far this season?
Yeah, I am. And if you ask anybody in New Orleans and they told you that they weren't surprised, they're lying to you. Everybody's surprised. I mean, the Carolina game was impressive. But, you know, everybody was like, okay, it's Carolina, so what? Like, nobody really put a whole lot of stock into it. But what they did yesterday was pretty dang impressive. And just being able to score on your – I mean, Derek Carr, I mean, I'm sure you've seen this stat, but with him in the lineup, I mean, they scored on 15 straight possessions to start the season. I mean, he got – obviously, they took him out at the end of the Carolina game last week, but scored on 9 straight possessions last week and then scored on 6 straight possessions yesterday. And yesterday they were all touchdowns. Last week there were some field goals mixed in it, but – yeah, just a really crazy start. I mean, Clint Kubiak is a god down in New Orleans right now. And, it's been something to see, man. I just never seen anything like it.
Rod Walker joining us from the Times-Picayune. When you take a look at how the Saints finished last year, they won 4 out of their last 5 games. People started to go, okay, they look okay. No expectation that they would have continued this into this season. What are your thoughts as the year continues on? They do have the Eagles next Sunday. Is that going to be kind of welcome back to reality, or do you think they can compete for a playoff spot?
I think before the season started, I had this team projected as I had them going 8-9. And we do a poll here with the media members. It's probably about 30 of us that covered the team. And, you know, we had a 6-11 in there. I think that the height was like 9-8. It may have been a couple of 10-7s, but nobody expected the team to do anything better than 10-7. But I think those expectations have definitely been raised after going to Dallas. I mean, the Cowboys had won 16 straight games, you know, right, regular season games at home. So for them to be able to do that against a team that I mean, it's bad. I mean, they looked bad yesterday, but I think the Saints made them look bad. I think the Cowboys probably do have a really good team. So what they did yesterday changed the it raised the expectations around here. I think we all sort of see this as a playoff team now. I mean, before the season, I thought the Falcons were the favorite to win the division, and now I think the Saints are right there in the mix. And I wouldn't have been able to say that 2 weeks ago. They had a lot of questions coming into the season. The offensive line was the big question mark. They're replacing three starters up front. And they've held their own, and that's kind of been the key to this offense succeeding is they've been able to run the ball, which kept Derek Carr to third and long situations. And because I think some of the pass protection issues may hurt this team if they ever come to that, but they've been able to run the ball on first and second down and stand out third and long, and I think that's been the key to this offense clicking like it has been.
Rod, you talk about Alvin Kamara. He had four touchdowns yesterday. You know, I've seen people write and say things like he's past his prime. We all heard the boos last year at some point. Derek Carr getting booed by the fans. What are your thoughts on these two as they have to pretty much be the stars to carry the ship? People are just finding out right now about Rashid Shaheed.
Yeah, I mean, Rashid's the guy that can kind of take the top off of the defenses, but Kamara's been that rock solid guy, man. This is a guy who, I mean, he had contract issues and decide to go ahead and play through. He's told us several times, like, look, man, I'm not worried about that. We'll figure that out when the season's over. And he's just been out there balling, man. And that's a testament to him and just how much he loves this team. You know, he always talks about how he wants to – this is where he wants to play. He wants to finish his career here where he started, and he's been able to do that. As far as Derek Carr, I mean, yeah, he had a rough first season. But I think him and Clint Kubiak have really – jailed. I think Kubiak has sort of found the things that Carr does well, and he's been able to, you know, install that into the offense, and it's just really worked. I mean, they're doing a lot more play action, a lot of pre-snap motion that you weren't seeing last year, and I think it kind of just, a lot of it's just window dressing, I guess, for the offense, but it kind of throws the defenses off a little bit, and yeah, Kubiak is, he's in his bag, man. I mean, he's dialing up everything, every button he's pushing so far has been the right button. I don't know how long he can keep that up, but, I mean, you know, 2 games, he's been really good.
Rod Walker's joining us from the Times-Picayune down in New Orleans. When you look at the rest of this season, have your expectations changed? You talk about how fans have said, oh, we can go ahead and do this now. You had them at 8-9. What do you think they might do the rest of the way?
Well, I think when you look at this schedule, I think everybody was concerned about the first 5 games because they – but not really the first one, not Carolina, but you got this 4-game stretch with Dallas yesterday, then you got Philadelphia, then you go to Atlanta, and then you go to Kansas City. I mean, that stretch, people were just not sure how they could come out of that. I mean, you know, you're thinking that could actually be a 1-4 stretch, but now all of a sudden, I mean, it's 2-3 at worst, but you kind of feel like the team can probably go on the road and beat Atlanta maybe. I mean, I know it's a rivalry game. Kansas City at Arrowhead will be tough, obviously, but this game Sunday, I mean, if they can beat the Eagles, I mean, you're looking at a 3-2 start, and the schedule lightens up on the back end. So I think, I know I'm basing a lot of this on one game, but it wasn't just that they won that one game, it was how they won that one game. I think you just kind of think this offense may be a little better than, I think this offense may be better than any of us thought it would be going into the season.
Well, Rod.
The defense is good. I mean, they've been solid for years, and Dennis Allen's strong suit of the defense, and now he's sort of hired his guy to get the offense where it needs to be. So, I'd probably go up to 10-7 now. I think I'd probably, you know, add at least 2 more wins on that schedule because they've already got 1 win that I didn't think they had a chance of getting.
And 10-7, does that mean you could see them going out here and winning the NFC South?
In that division, probably so. 10-7 is probably, I think that's one of the NFC South the last 3 years maybe, but yeah, I just don't think that division's very strong. Even though the Bucs going up to Detroit yesterday was really impressive, and you know, I think I've kind of written them off the last, you know, 2 years thinking they were going to drop off without Brady, and they've kind of been playing pretty well. So I don't know if 10-7 will win it, but I think it kind of puts you in there. I think you have a really good shot at winning it if you go 10-7.
Rod, who are some other players on the Saints that don't get the nationwide or national attention that we should pay attention to? Is there anybody else that people are going to find out about more if they continue winning?
I would probably, I think, well, this is a guy that people know about, but he just hadn't really, his career hadn't gone the path that you thought it would go. But Chase Young, just seeing him, you know, I mean, they signed him in, you know, free agency this offseason, but just watching him in training camp, I mean, he was just dominating. He finally got in on a sack yesterday, so he only had, well, he has a half a sack for the season, but he was so disruptive in training camp, and we kind of thought that he could be the guy that can make this defense a little bit better than it has been, because they struggled last year, kind of putting pressure on the quarterback, getting sacked, kind of struggled stopping the run, and Chase sort of adds that element to this defense that they didn't have, and I mean, he's a guy that, you know, he may be in one of those conversations, a defensive player of the year type conversation. I mean, I think he can be that disruptive. And you look at some of the cornerbacks. I mean, Paulson Adebo is a guy that sort of gets all overshadowed because of Marshawn Lattimore, but Adebo had an interception yesterday, and he's a really solid number two cornerback. It could probably be a number one for some teams. I mean, I think he's that talented. So he's the guy that comes to mind. So I think those would be the two guys. And I think Rashid Shaheed, who you mentioned earlier, I mean, he's taking the top off the defense 2 weeks in a row. I mean, he's just such a speed guy. And with Kubiak, I mean, they're finding different ways to get the ball in his hands. I think people are going to start to hear more about him this season.
Well, Rod, you mentioned Chase Young, and we know his injury history. Is this more of an audition year for him with the Saints for the rest of the NFL, or is there a possibility that they can sign him to a long-term deal if he has a good year?
I think they would definitely want to sign him to a long-term deal if he has a good year. And just kind of talking to Chase, you can tell that he knows that this is a chance to prove himself. I mean, he's aware about the injuries he's had, and he knows that, you know, that label sticks with you unless you stay healthy. And I think this season, he's really trying to do that. And if he does, I think he's going to really open some eyes. And I think he's a guy that could, you know, really be a cornerstone for his defense for years to come.
Wow. I know there's a lot of happy Saints fans, watching him do that to the Cowboys yesterday, hearing what you had to say. And I think Derek Carr, he'll be happy because he can move towards Christmas without hearing boos. I think that'd be music to his ears as well.
Yeah, I mean, he had a rough first year here, and I mean, even in the preseason this year, fans were like, "Oh, they want to see Spencer Rattler." They were just kind of done with Derek Carr. And to me, and I wrote about this. I mean, if winning cures everything, and you know, Derek Carr starts off 2-0. You can tell he's having a little bit more fun now. He did the Michael Jackson celebration after his touchdown run yesterday, which is like the most un-Derek Carr-like thing you'd ever see. And so, yeah, I mean, I think he's starting to win the fan base over. And, you know, Sunday will be a little different for him. I think he'll get some loud cheers when they introduce the offense during the pregame. I mean, he'll get loud cheers. And I think he's kind of winning the fan base over now.
Hey, well, listen, you're going to have a lot of positive things to write about if they continue like this. Rod, where can people follow you and all of your work with the Times Picayune and elsewhere?
On Twitter or X or whatever it's called now, it's just Rod Walker NOLA. And my stories are just on NOLA.com. You can just go to the Saints tab or to the Rod Walker tab, and you can find my writings on there.
Hey, Rod, I appreciate you. If they keep on playing like this, man, I may have to make my way from Atlanta to you. I'll check you out. I'll let you know.
Okay. Let me know. Thanks, man.
Most definitely. That Rod Walker, a Times-Picayune columnist, covers all things Saints. There's some optimism. Let me tell you something. It is no place to watch a football game like the Superdome. No place. It is a party from before the game, during the game, after the game. That place is lit up in a way that I have not seen here anywhere, really, in North America. A football game in New Orleans is real different, especially if the Saints are winning. And right now they are. 2-0 to start the season. Beating the Cowboys 44-19 yesterday. If that game would have been in the Superdome, those people would have lost their minds before, during, and after the game.
You're listening to the JR Sport Brief.
It's the JR Sport Brief show here with you on the Infinity Sports Network. 855-212-4227. That's 855-212-4227. Thank you so much to Rod Walker from the Times-Picayune newspaper, website, NOLA.com, for coming through to join us to talk about the Saints. Have started the season at 2-0. And the way that they waxed the Dallas Cowboys yesterday, there's some optimism about what the rest of their season might look like, especially playing in the NFC North, where you can beat up on the Panthers, who just benched their quarterback, or the Falcons. Right now, still nothing against the Eagles. And people aren't feeling too good about the Falcons and Kirk Cousins. And then the Bucks are good, but come on now. I know they beat the Lions, but come on, it's still the Bucks. Nobody's looking at them saying that there's some Super Bowl contender here. And so thank you again to Rod Walker. 855-212-4227. Dave is calling us from New York. You are on the JR Sport Brief Show. Dave, what's on your mind?
Hey, JR. Is Dave actually formerly from Miami?
Oh, great. Good to have you here. What's up?
What's going on, man? I'm actually in Harlem now, so I just want to talk about Tua real quick. If this keeps going on with these concussions, what does the future look like, number one? Number two, if he's done, what does Miami do with the contract? Thanks for taking my call, JR. Love the show, man.
Well, thank you, Dave, for calling from New York. Yeah, I was just in Harlem. Thank you. Thank you so much. Well, this is what it boils down to. We already heard he ain't going anywhere. He's not. And if they decide to let him go, we got to look at the guaranteed money that's in the contract. He's going to see every dime of that. The Dolphins are basically going to be screwed if he's cooked. And in regards to this season, there's no guarantee that he is cooked. A matter of fact, his head coach, Mike McDaniel, he spoke about Tua Tagovailoa earlier today. And Mike McDaniel said that Tua right now is considered day-to-day. He was at the facility today. Listen to this.
He's, was downstairs today, smiling with his teammates. He's working with trainers and medical staff diligently. And, as far as I'm concerned, you're in the protocol and I think he's doing well today, and we take it day by day. So he was feeling good, but what does that mean in terms of a medical diagnosis? I don't base my judgments on my interactions with him necessarily as much as it is hearing the end result of the medical examination and where he's at. So it was good to see him, and I know his teammates were pumped to see him.
Damn. Hickey, what can he have a conversation about that doesn't feel like he's explaining that he didn't take the cookies from the cookie jar? Like, what do we got to talk to him about? I mean, football is his thing. We know sure as hell when he's talking to the players, he doesn't sound like that. Like, what are some of his other, do we know about his other hobbies? Like, what he likes shoes. I've seen him wear some, like, Nike off-whites before. If I talk to him about kicks, he's going to be able to have a conversation with me?
Oh, yeah. I think he's a big collector. I think he's got, like, dozens and hundreds of pairs. So that could be, something where he could talk. Not like you said, he sounds like he's getting in trouble or trying to answer a question that he has actually no idea how to answer. So just ramble on and hope that people just mistake it for the right answer.
He's the anti-Bill Belichick.
Oh, big time.
He's the rambler.
He gets paid by the word, I guess.
He's the rambler. And speaking of Bill Belichick, they're honoring Nick Foles today at Monday Night Football in Philadelphia. And Bill Belichick is just hanging out on the sideline, saying hi and stuff. It's like Bill Belichick, now that he's not a coach, and we know he had a personality, but he's like he got a personality transplant. Like, he's smiling. Hickey, Bill Belichick gave Nick Foles' son a pat on the arm. He's holding his kid. He gave the kid a pat on the arm like, oh, this is your boy. Okay. I'm like, I've never seen this man with this much, enthusiasm for life. Like, he has a second wind right now.
He's reborn. Uh-oh. Maybe getting away from the Patriots is what Bill needed to live an enjoyable life. How about that?
It'll last a year until he takes over for some awful ass football team. We'll find out sooner than later, you know, what the hell is going on with Bill Belichick. I mean, well, maybe next season in the offseason. Speaking of coaches, Bill Belichick never said a word. Mike McDaniel at times just says too many words. And even after yesterday's games, we had a lot of coaches who had some explaining to do. Brian Daboll is now the head coach of the New York Giants. It is a job that a lot of people say that ultimately it might go to Bill Belichick. How appropriate that would be. Bill Belichick, a two-time Super Bowl champ as defensive coordinator with the New York Giants. Every Giants game is going to be pathetic. I think we know this. The Commanders beat the Giants 21-18 yesterday. Their kicker, Graham Gano, he was done after the opening kick. The New York Giants played the whole damn game without a kicker. They lost 21-18. I think they're the first team to not score a touchdown or score a touchdown, not give up a touchdown, and still lose. Like the New York Giants are finding a very convenient ways to lose. Brian Daboll, I guess, has certainly learned a thing or two from Bill Belichick. He was asked after the game, hey, why didn't you have a backup kicker ready? This is what he said.
Describe your reasoning for only having one kicker active today.
Yeah, because we thought Graham would be okay. He got hurt chasing down a hamstring. He didn't hurt his groin. He hurt his hamstring.
But Brian, are you saying that you can't hurt your hamstring running with favoring your groin?
I'm not a doctor.
Isn't that part of the deal that you have to, you know, that it is a risk? Like you had the same thing last year with him. Like he came in with an injury. You're taking a risk that it could get re-injured. Why not have it?
I mean, anybody can get injured, Jordan. So,
but
no, again,
he has a.
I got you. He was chasing a kickoff return. He pulled his hamstring. I'm not making excuses.
Damn. Hickey, this ain't going to end good for him. This is not looking good. This is not looking. You know, do you think he'll be around for the next quarterback? Because we know Daniel Jones ain't the guy. Is he going to be around for that next dude?
I think he should be, based on what he did with with Josh Allen in Buffalo, and how he was able to develop, you know, that raw product into one of the best quarterbacks in the NFL. I think if you're the Giants, I would trust or give him one more chance with a new quarterback to see what he can do that's not named Daniel Jones. But you keep making these decisions, you run out an injured kicker without a backup plan, and you lose the game because of it, and then you get in a fight with the media afterwards. Not the game plan to stay around long term.
Nope. After two games, this is what it is already.
That's true.
You didn't know that a guy can get hurt, anybody can get hurt. Whoa. Okay. All right. I mean, way to pick your battles. New York Giants are ass. This is like a ship going down in flames with nowhere. It's like the Titanic. It's terrible. Anyway, he's not the only coach who had some explaining to do. The Bucs beat the Lions 20-16. We had a gaffe right before we got to halftime with the Lions and Dan Campbell and clock management and being able to get a score or field goal attempted. And after the game, Dan Campbell said, you can blame me.
We did improve. We did improve. And their coach cost them. Their head coach cost them this one. So critical error in the half. 100% on me. We improved. There's areas we got to continue to improve on, but it's not okay.
Yeah, how often do you hear that? How often do you hear a head coach say, we lost the game because of me? Like, you don't. You really don't. They try to, and that there's a difference between Brian Daboll and Dan Campbell. Like, the respect factor from the players has to be at an all-time high for the coach to say, I screwed up. And I get it. Dan Campbell was a former player. I mean, he wasn't busting ass. He was a blocking tight end. He still looks like he can go block today. I can understand why the Lions, the fans and the players, why they appreciate him. He ain't hiding nothing. He tells you what it is and how he feels, and he just coaches the football team. He does it aggressively to the best of his abilities without any of this huffing stuff. And so all of these guys who think they can just Bill Belichick their way through the media and stand around and tell people lies, and I don't have the answer for this, and I don't have the answer to that, and don't question me here, and don't question. I don't think I've ever heard Dan Campbell just say nothing. Like, silence is the best. We saw that work with a guy, and it worked with a guy who had the most successful run of a head coach in NFL history. There's not a one size fits all. Everybody is not Bill Belichick. I think Brian Daboll better chill out before the media. They're going to start kicking you while you're down, man. You better relax on that one and get a backup kicker. It's the JR Sport Brief Show here with you on the Infinity Sports Network. 855-212-4227. That's 855-212-4227. We're going to take a break. When we come back on the other side, I'm going to give you an update. Monday Night Football, what's going on between the Eagles and the Falcons? Oh, yeah, there's another head coach. It seems like this guy hates life. I'll tell you who it is on the other side. It's the JR Sport Brief Show, coast to coast. Don't move.